one that we ask and receive this morning, the afternoon, revelation and insight word of the Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you because there's precision in preaching, accuracy in listening. There's no error in this atmosphere. All the illustrations are clear and direct, and they apply the truth as it is written. We thank you, Father, because as we see Jesus, your Son, we behold him as he sees us in him. Amen. Hallelujah. Second Timothy 3. That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, verse 15, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So, we've been looking at this subject in the first service. Faith in the gospel of Christ, money, wealth, and material things, yesterday, today, and all. You missed that one, right? It's a long subject. Don't worry, don't mind me. I'm just bad at typing things. Faith in the gospel of Christ, what relationship has my faith in Christ got to do with things? Material things. And I believe this is a very important teaching for many people today. Okay, so we say salvation through faith is in Christ. Well, we said that salvation means there's a savior, a soter of a soteria. And so that's why faith is in him. And we studied that a bit in the first lesson. So go ahead. Now, in 2 Timothy 2:15, and this is vital. You know, we said that all scripture is written for what purpose? For explanation. Not for quoting. Scriptures are not just for referencing, like some people do. Scriptures are for explanation. And so 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul said to Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word study is the word spoudazo in the Greek, which you know. It means make every effort. That's what it means. 2 Timothy 4:9 and 21, same words used. Make every effort. That means you have a duty, a responsibility to make effort. You must make an effort. To do exactly what? It says to show thyself, which is the word paristemi. It means to display, to exhibit. So you must walk at exhibiting the right thing. To exhibit thyself. Now, the word unto God is bad translated to be by God or from God or of God. So you exhibit yourself that you are approved of God. The word approved is dokimos. It means to be tried and tested and fit for something. So you must show it that you are approved and fit for preaching. I'm not saying you, Paul isn't saying here, pardon me, that you should be arrogant or, you know, display knowledge, but you must show it that you are tested and proven. You don't show it that you are tested and proven. It says a workman, okay, that need not be ashamed. How do you have to say need not be ashamed? Now, pardon me, that word need not be ashamed will be a negative of ashamed, right? That means we must understand the word ashamed first before we go into ashamed. Not need not be ashamed. It's a negative. That's why the word is, I'll spell it for you. I can pronounce it myself. Okay, I can try. Anapa aish untos. So let me just spell it. A-N-A-P-A-I-S-C-H-U-N-T-O-S. A-N-A-P-A-I-S-C-H-U-N-T-O-S. Because that's ana, that's negative, alright? Before that, the word ashamed is just another one word. E-P-I-S, just the last word. E-P-I-S-C-H-U-N-O-N-A-I, right? Which refers to, you know, you being able to identify with something. It's not the same as covering your head, I'm ashamed. No. This one is you can identify with something. Right? That means you need not be identified with. You can identify with something. Now follow this one. That word was used by Jesus in Mark's Gospel 8:38. He that denies me before men. Verse 38. Whosoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, I'll be ashamed. Whosoever cannot identify with my words, can identify with it. Same thing in Luke 9:26. To identify with. So it's not just about shame or feeling bad about something. Luke 9:26. Same thing. To identify with. Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. Not ashamed, that is, I identify with the gospel which is the power of God unto salvation. Romans 6:21. So it's not about feeling funny about something. It's actually to say that you can identify openly, Romans 6:21. Things wherefore you are now ashamed. Okay? You are now ashamed. So you are not, you don't want to identify with it. Romans 6:21. Then in this particular letter, Paul writes it, that is to Timothy, a couple of times. 2 Timothy 1:8. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Ashamed. Be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Then verse 12. I suffer these things, nevertheless I'm not ashamed. For I know who I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. So 2 Timothy 1:16. Alright. And he was not ashamed of my chains. That is, he identified with it. Same thing, Hebrews 2:11. For this cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. Okay? Hebrews 11:16. We're not ashamed. So it's a function that now when he said this, because I wanted us to notice this, when he gave him this particular instruction, he says, study to show thyself approved, that is, be eager to exhibit that you are proven and tested. Now, why did he say that? Look at verse 14 and 16, 2 Timothy 2. Verse 14 and 16. He says, of this put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the error. So, in verse 16, for shun profane and vain babblings, and they will increase unto more ungodliness. Now, he's giving them an instruction against those who don't teach the gospel properly. So he says, now, you be not ashamed. That is, you are identifying appropriately. You identify. Because that's what I was talking about. You're not ashamed. Why? Rightly, he says, dividing the word of truth. Now, why did he say all that? Remember what he says later. From a child, you have known the Holy Spirit, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith is in Christ. So, don't be ashamed of the message of faith in Christ. You must always identify with the message. So you have known the Holy Scriptures, which is Agios Grammar in the Greek, what was written about Jesus. You identify with it all the time. All the time. You don't feel funny if that's the only thing you're preaching. Some guys say, is that all you're going to be saying? Well, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. That's the only message in the Old Testament. You know, don't you have something refreshing? Something new? Hey, Paul, that's what he told him much later. He says, the time will come, they will not endure sound doctrine. Now, what is sound doctrine? Salvation through faith in Christ is healthy doctrine. There's coming a time they want to hear about prosperity. They want to hear about, nothing wrong about hearing prosperity, don't get me wrong. You want to hear about healing? You want to hear about other things? You know, what about this Christ? Why can't Christ? Someone told the minister, he said, if everything we're going to say is Christ, one day we'll be out of sermon. The guy doesn't understand what we're talking about. Does he? No, he does not. Paul calls the revelation of Christ unsearchable riches. So the guy doesn't get it. He thinks it's one fact, grace message. God is not mad at you. Preach it for 4 weeks and you're tired. And you go back to romance. That's what we're talking about. Hallelujah. I was telling ministers, I said, there are subjects I waited for 6 years to teach. And there are some. The man was asking me a question last night. I said, this particular question, I'll answer it. Mark my words. And I said it to him. I said, between 2022 and 2025. I said, I must have gotten to the point where I can answer it. Amen. They are unsearchable riches. You don't say, about Christ. Okay, we say Christ. Is that all? Brother, that's all. Hallelujah. Christ is the revelation of God. How would you say you have finished talking about him? Who will say it again? He's always, you know what the Lamentation said? He said, his mercies are new every morning. That means for every day, we come in contact. I told you this in Law and Genesis. That time is the mercy of God. Remember that? You need to understand. Hallelujah. So he says, in the midst of all this, you must hold your ground. And know that the message, alright, you are not ashamed. Why? He says, rightly dividing the word of truth. Do not forget, Timothy has just one book. Which book? Genesis. And he's teaching from there. And Paul is saying to you, you need not be ashamed. A workman that need not be ashamed. A workman that's able to identify with the message. Rightly divided. And the word rightly divided is one word. Ototomio, remember that word? You know it by now. Orthopedics. I don't use many words. Surgery. Mining. Now, ototomio is as a, the word orthos. O-R-T-H-O-S. It means straight line. To cut through, to dissect. So straight line. Now, that means you rightly cut out, then you get out the word of truth. You take Genesis to Malachi, and you're cutting through carefully like a miner, okay, for the word of truth. That means everything there is not the word of truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And what is the word of truth? Salvation through faith in Christ. So the word of truth in the old covenant will be what? Faith in Christ. That's the word of truth. Not how long the bears of Aaron is. Matthew 13. Alright, Matthew 13, 11. So the Old Testament is that way. Why is the Old Testament such that you have to cut through carefully? Why? You know that we're not told to rightly divide the epistles. Because the epistles are already rightly divided for you. Come on, you getting this? We're rightly dividing the Old Testament books. Why? Because not everything in there is true. Amen. He says, salvation through faith in Christ. That's not everything in there. But that is the message of Jesus Christ in there. So, you don't cut through the epistles and say, well, I'm rightly divided. No, that's the Old Testament. Why is it so? Because Jesus, and you see, we need to be very, very cautious in how we hold the Old Testament. Very, very cautious. That's why Paul is saying to me. Because you discover that when he was 1 Timothy, the folks he said he should avoid are those who mishandle the Old Testament. They will create sermons for you there. You'll be shocked. Even those who are in the Old Testament will be surprised. You'll learn from them. And my God, we didn't mean this. You know, now look at this, Matthew 13, 11. Jesus said, for it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. Now the word mysteries is the right word. Is the word mysterion. Mysterion. Now look at this. Jesus is doing a teaching meeting. And then as he's teaching, he calls what he is saying. What he, Jesus, is saying. He calls it mystery. If Jesus' teachings can be called mysteries, there's no hope in the Old Testament. Because of me, what he's saying. And that's why I tell today, there are so many sermons on his parable. Either some people are taking it literally, or some people are found symbolism to it. For example, they say the prodigal son. Again, the word prodigal is our own interpretation. Jesus didn't call anybody prodigal. The prodigal son is that believer who has backslid, has gone back into the world, The pigs are the unbelievers that he's fellowshipping with. So who are his friends? Angels or demons? You get confused. The Father is God. Who ran to him? The song by Cindy Lamb. So the day I saw God run. And so when the son said, I've sinned against you and against heaven, so who is there? Kind of funny parable, you know. So if Jesus' teachings were like that, then you have ten virgins, five wives, five husbands. And Jesus is the bridegroom. Then, prospecting bride. You know, you see how funny it sounds. Jesus is teaching. Even the clearer ones, in my father's house, there are many mansions, has become cities. That is the clearer ones, the very clear ones that you shouldn't have any problem with that. You will convict the world of sin. Has still become a mystery of sin. Is the Holy Spirit convicting you of sin? If he's not convicting you of sin, it means he has left your life. The world. So you see, it just goes on and on. So, he talks about it, wait for this. He mentions musterion. Musterion means truth hidden among facts. So, the facts are not truth in themselves. But musterion will mean truth hidden among facts. So, when you want to see a confused person, he takes the facts as truth. And the truth, there's no truth. The facts of him are the truth. Where is your Isaac? Have you brought your Isaac to the altar? That's the collect offering. Brethren, have you put your Isaac? The Lord said, your only. It can be your only car. Your only house. I find that funny because if that were true, if you symbolize everything, I agree with you. And then you say, have you brought your Isaac? Then I say to you, have you sacrificed your Isaac? Don't stop there. You say, stop! So as you're about to drop in your river, just stop! That stuff also should be left the way it is. Now I know that he loved me. So immediately there must be a provision. Are you still there? So we have musterion, mystery. Quickly, let's run through the words. The musterion is never used for the truth in the epistle. It's always used for truth, hidden before the epistles. For example, you see it in Mark 4:11, the same thing, the same parable, Mark 4:11 and Luke 8:10. Mark 4:11, Luke 8:10. Then you'll find it in Romans 11:25. I'm gonna run through it, so you ready? Romans 11:25. The mystery, that's the Old Testament again, Romans 11:25. Romans 16:25. The mystery. The revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Revelation of the mystery. Romans 16:25. That's the Old Testament now. 1 Corinthians 2:1. To declare unto you the mystery of God. 1 Corinthians 2:1, which is a mystery hidden for us. Verse 7. Wisdom of God in a mystery hidden which God ordained before the world to our glory. Romans 1 Corinthians 2:1, verse 7. Why was it hidden? Verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2. Eye has not seen nor hear heard. These have entered the house of man, the things which God has prepared for them. That's the Old Testament, Isaiah 64:4. So the eye has not seen where you are going to. Brethren, your future is hidden. It's your own future that will be. Hallelujah. We walk in light, absolute light. Hallelujah. Say, he that follows me will not walk in darkness. We don't walk in darkness. Hallelujah. Nothing is hidden from us. All things are made bare. That was a statement of the state of the man before Christ came. I hadn't seen, he hadn't heard, the hand of the man. Things that God prepared for them that love. 1 Corinthians 4:1, mysteries of God. We're stewards of the mystery. That says we minister the revelation of it. 1 Corinthians 13:2. If I understand all mysteries. 1 Corinthians 13:2. 1 Corinthians 14:2. Tongues. Speaking with tongues is called speaking mysteries. 1 Corinthians 14:2. 1 Corinthians 15:51. I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Alright? We shall be changed. Then Ephesians 1:9. Just run through it. Ephesians 1:9. Amen. Have been made known unto us the mystery of his will. Notice that when you find the word mystery in the epistles, you always find the word known or revelation. Which means that mystery is past tense. Revelation is what we have. Ephesians 1:9. Ephesians 3:3. Again, whereby you may know and understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. As knowledge means it's being known, the mystery of Christ. Ephesians 3:4. I made known unto you, me the mystery. Then 4, knowledge of the mystery of Christ. Ephesians 3:9. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. So we see it. So it's not hidden. Ephesians 6:19. And for me, all utterance may be given to me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. I make it known. Colossians 1:26. Colossians 1:26. Even the mystery which has been hid from ages, but now is made manifest. Colossians 1:26. Colossians 1:27. What's the mystery? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 2:2. The acknowledgement that the full knowledge of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Colossians 2:2. Colossians 4:3, praying for us, and that God will open unto us the door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bond, that I may make it manifest. Verse 4, make it manifest, make it known. Colossians 4:3, 2 Thessalonians 2:7, the mystery of iniquity, doth yet already walk. 1 Timothy 3:9. Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. 1 Timothy 3:16. For without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16. Revelation 1:20. So, notice this. Go back to Matthew 13. The mystery refers to the past. The past. What was in the past is called mystery. The writings of the Old Testament are called mystery. Why? Because the truth was hidden among facts. You mustn't relate with those facts, alright, without seeing the truth about them. Okay, look at Matthew 13 one more time. Verse 13. Let's take verse 13 together. Matthew 13, are you there? Are you there? Let's go. Therefore, speak I to them in parables. Because seeing, you know, so that seeing. Because seeing, what? Hearing, neither do they understand. So parables were used for people who couldn't see. Parables are used for those who didn't have revelation. Parables are not used for those who are born of the Spirit. It says, seeing they couldn't see. Why? Verse 14, that it might be fulfilled, that in them is fulfilled the prophecy. Notice that. In them, okay? Now, notice that in them is fulfilled. He didn't say all men. That means they had a choice. They had a choice. Just like Judas had a choice. They had a choice. In them is fulfilled. The disciples did not fulfill it. That means something was said. You now met the obligation. How did they meet the obligation? Because they didn't believe. So those that did not have the revelation were those that didn't believe. So they fulfilled the obligation. What was the obligation? Look at it. The obligation was this. He said, seeing, hearing you shall hear, you shall not understand. Seeing you shall see, you shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their ears and eyes are closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their mouth, and should understand, and that they should be converted, and I should heal them. They should be converted. They should repent. So because they have not believed, Their heart is waxed gross. That's unbelief. So unbelief is why people didn't, Jesus had to teach them in parables. Unbelief is why it was a mystery to them. Unbelief. The state of their heart. But look at what he says. He said, blessed are your word. We're going to look at that word blessed. You know, don't forget. Blessed are your what? Matthew 13:16. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. Your ears, for they hear. Praise God. Say, blessed are my eyes, for they see. My ears, for they hear. Say, they are blessed. Look at Matthew 13:34. All these things spoke Jesus unto them in parables, and without a parable spoke he not unto them. Why? Verse 35. That it might be fulfilled, it was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things that were kept secret from the world, from the foundation of the world. The word secret is the word cryptos, hidden among things. That means you to hide something amongst things. You are hidden among conversations, hidden among words. I remember someone, I mentioned this before, says, I must repeat it again. Someone was telling me that, well, you're too strict on contextual study. What's your problem? You say, well, most of Paul's quotes are out of context. I said, not most, all. They send it with Jesus. I said, yeah, right. When Jesus, listen carefully, says, why is it out of context? And they all say, contest. We should hear the Holy Spirit. I say, wait. He said, go and get our new book. Introduction will help you. What you just said. It's foundation school. And it's a pastor of many years. Don't you know that the Old Testament is called mystery? The only way you can bring the truth in a mystery is out of context. That's just common sense. It has to be out. If it's in context, you will never see it. Right? Are you following what I'm saying? Because it's called a mystery. You have to rightly what? Divide. If you bring it in context, you will put everything together. But if you are not, if you study it out of context, but in the context of the epistles, you have an understanding. I said, what we have, the epistles, pay attention here, the epistles explain the Old Testament. Isn't that simple enough? Because Psalm 78, where Matthew quoted from, you have the word chida. C-H-I-D-D-A-H. Chida. It means riddles. How many word riddles are? Riddles and jokes. What's riddles? I am something. My daughter said, I am something. Something. I am, what am I? I'm something. At night, I'm blue. In the afternoon, I'm yellow. I said, you are yellow and blue. But in every riddle, the answer is not in the riddle. Right? The riddle does not explain itself. So if the Old Testament words are called riddles, they don't explain themselves. That means it's the epistles that will explain the Old Testament to you. So the epistles are the revelation of the Old Testament. You don't expect a riddle to explain itself. Then it's no longer a riddle. So, again, what is the key to understanding the Old Testament? Faith in Christ. To believe. Faith in, some say faith in Christ. So if you're in the first service, you know what I'm saying. If you handle the Old Testament without faith in Christ, you will see all sorts of messages there. Faith in Christ is what unlocks the Old Testament. Faith in Christ. That's why Jesus is first Bible study, Luke 24. Let me start again. What unlocks the Old Testament for you? Faith in Christ. What did Paul say to Timothy? You have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto what? Salvation through what? Faith in Christ. It's not just salvation. There are many salvation in the Old Testament. There was Red Sea, who said, we left Egypt. You are who? We left Egypt, we went to the Red Sea is baptism. When the Bible says they were baptized into Moses. So what's the other side? Heaven. Very serious something. So you are confused. That's it. You are baptized into confusion. Luke 24, verse 25. All fools, slow of heart. Same word. To believe all that the prophet has spoken. To what? To what? To what? To what? To what? To what? Believe. So what was the key to the Old Testament? Faith. In Christ. All that the prophets have spoken. So what did they speak? Ought not the Christ to have what? Suffered these things and to what? And beginning at what? And where? What did he do? In where? The things. So they are supposed to believe in the things concerning who? Himself. So, wait now. He expounded unto them. How do you expound the Old Testament? Faith in Christ. Faith in Christ opens up the Old Testament. The Old Testament book will always be a mystery till you read it with faith in Christ. Pay attention here. Now, what did he tell them? Go full slower to believe all the prophets have spoken. All. Look at Isaiah 53. All the prophets have spoken. So, the key to Old Testament understanding is what? Is what? Faith in Christ. If you like, do a series of 6 months. If what you have taught is not faith in Christ in the Old Testament, you have wasted 6 months of time in church. Faith in Christ. Look at this. Isaiah 53 verse 1. Who has believed our report? To whom is the hem of the Lord revealed? The word revealed is the word galah. Galah. I know someone whose ears are ears just turned on. She likes galah. G-A-L-A-H. Galah. Galah means to uncover what is hidden. Genesis 9:21. Genesis 35:7. To uncover. So, there is a, watch this now, who has believed our report? To whom is the hand of the Lord what? Huh? Now, so who is the hand of the Lord revealed to? The person who has believed. Come on. Is that there? So, when a man believes, what happens to him? The hand of the Lord, that salvation, is what? Revealed to him. So what's the key to revelation? Faith. To whom is the hand of the Lord revealed? Now it says, who has believed, okay, our report. The word report is Shuma, S-H-U-M-U-A-H, from Shama, right? Where do you get the message? Where's the report? Is the report in the facts or in the revelation? Oh, come on. Where is the report? Come on, where is the report? The report is in the revelation. So, if the reporters are telling you, you women, you have tied your leg with chains, and you can see the chain, is that a revelation? Huh? Abraham! Oh, let me leave Abraham for now. I have a day for him. I have a special day. Abraham's day is coming soon. And we just destroy Abraham alone. And so you leave him alone. He said, oh! You this! Is there a revelation in that? Telling them their sins. Is there a revelation in that? No. They already know. The revelation will be to uncover a fact that is not open to the eye. So he said, who has believed our report? Revelation. Which is the message of faith. Who has believed? Who has believed? So, the prophets preach faith. I taught you that in Law and Prophets. They taught faith, they preach faith. Quickly look at this. Let's go on to something. I know some guys, myself inclusive, you know, many times, but God understands. We have always put Moses on the slaughter slab. Almost like blaming the entire mystery of humanity on this. Sometimes you feel Moses is Adam. Moses, Moses, what then? They left Adam alone. But then Adam just ate a tree of fruit. And that was the end. Someone told me, well, he believes that Adam ate a literal tree. Do you believe that? That is. So how come the fruit affected spiritual things? He was looking at me like this. So if he had literal fruit, then literal fruit now affected spiritual things. So does that fruit still exist? Yeah? So which of them can affect your spirit, man? You know. Well, let's leave that. Look at what Moses told them. He said, verse, Deuteronomy 30. Now, he had given them commandments. Pay attention. He now says, for this command which I command thee today, this, just one, is not hidden from you, neither is it far from you. Off. This commandment, this instruction. Alright? Deuteronomy 30, I read verse 11. It is not in heaven that you should say, who shall go up for us in heaven? And bring it unto us, that he may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea, that thou should say, who shall go over the sea for us, and bring it unto us, that we may hear and do it. Moses is preaching faith. The commandment. Now, when he was saying this, they already had physical blessings. Praise God. There. So he says, who shall go beyond? Now he says, who shall, verse 13, who shall go over the sea? What over the sea, beyond the sea, is the word Eber, E-B-E-R, beyond the sea. That is down, you know, the Jews believe that the depth of the sea is the deepest place in the earth. That's why the psalmist says that you have cast our sins in the depths of the sea. Now he's saying, who shall go beyond that? So whatever Moses is saying here is not physical. And that's why when Paul interpreted this same verse, Romans chapter 10, are you learning something? Who said this? Moses? Yeah, Moses. Romans chapter 10. Verse, we read that earlier. Verse 6. The same text. Say not in your heart. He says, the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. What? You mean, did the Romans 30 had the righteousness which is of faith? Yes. Hallelujah. Are you following this? There was righteousness of the law by the same Moses. And righteousness which is of what? And he says, watch this. Who shall ascend to heaven? That is to bring Christ from, who shall descend into the deep to bring Christ again from the dead. The deep that's beyond the sea, which is called abyss. Abyss is used in Greek for, is the word apusos, A-B-U-S-S-O-S. It means bottomless. You cannot find the end. So it's a spiritual place. You can't find the end. You see it in Luke 8:31. Then really in Revelation 9:1, quickly let me run to that. Revelation 9:1, Revelation 9:2, Revelation 9:11, 9:1, 9:2, 9:11, Revelation 11:7, Revelation 17:8, Revelation 20:1-3. I'll take it again. Revelation 9:1, Revelation 9:2, Revelation 9:11, Revelation 11:7, Revelation 17:8, Revelation 21:3. Okay, plus Luke 8:31, where you cannot find the death. So look at what Moses taught them. Go back to Deuteronomy 30. You know, Jesus said, Moses accused you and he also spoke about me. Now you remember that. So Moses always gave them works and faith in Christ. Hallelujah. So when you're blaming Moses, know the one you're talking about. Moses gave them faith in Christ. That's why Jesus said, the commandments was given because of the hardness of what? So, right here again, he says, now, he said, this commandment I command, that is one. Now, besides all the other, after giving them 626 laws, he now says, there's one that is not included. What? This instruction I give you, say not in your heart. Praise God. Are you there? He said, it's not hidden from you. Neither is it far off. That you should see. Hallelujah. Look at 14. The word is where? Huh? The word is where? In your word. Uh-huh. That you may what? He gave them, what? Wait, one more time. He gave them laws, then he says the word is near you. Your mouth and your heart. And that's all you need to. Can you imagine after writing so much about what they should not do, what is it? Tell the word is near you. That's Moses. So he says, I set before you this day life and good. Death and evil. Then he says, I call verse 19. To record this day against you, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life. That both you and your seed may live. So he gave them life by what? Faith. To say in your mouth and believe where? So Moses presented what? Righteousness through faith and righteousness through what? So righteousness through faith is faith in who? Faith. Now, if you understand that, you will know why the law was given. It won't be a mystery anymore. Hallelujah. Say faith in Christ unlocks the mysteries of the Old Testament. Go back to Isaiah 53. You learning something? Isaiah 53. Who has believed our report? Don't forget the report is was Shema, a message. A message in the revelation. So the word believe is Aman. A-M-A-N. Aman. Now, what is the report about? The report, is it about things or a person? The hand of the Lord, the person. So the revelation of the Old Testament, that is, if we unlock the mysteries of the Old Testament, we'll find a person. But if you are still chasing Abraham's farm, Isaac in the land, you are confused. You are not any different from the Jews whose minds were blinded until this day. Because the gala, the revelation of those facts is a person. Hallelujah. You still out there? It's a person. So, the revelation of the Old Testament is not things. It's a person. Don't say, I just saw a rhema. What's it? Brother, the Holy Spirit is marvelous. The Holy Spirit is marvelous. Share with me. You want to hear it? You know, when you want to be mysterious, is that to do their face for one kind of guy? Sweet Holy Spirit. Say what you want to say. The Holy Spirit is so sweet. Even to somebody who has bad taste buds, you say somebody is sweet. You know, I was just looking at the scriptures. And I saw. But the Bible says the rivers of Ethiopia. And Ethiopia is in Africa. So that revival, the move of the Spirit of God, will start from Africa. The Lord have mercy on you for butchering the Bible like that. How many of you want to be Esther? And they say they want to be Queen Esther. Yeah. Yes, Alba. I remember I made fun of a lady one time. I said, are you sure you want to be Esther? She said, Esther. I said, who is Esther? Esther was a lady among ladies who would go in and sleep with the king so that he would choose which one he wants. I said, God forbid. Is that what you want? Oh, yeah, fine. You've been Esther before? Oh, but I thought, okay. They gave, they, that was, what was it the king was doing with them? Praise worship. He was sleeping with them. Better look for Christ. Let me leave that. I'm coming to them one by one. Where were we? To believe. Praise God. Don't be adjusting. Why are you looking like that? Is that your ambition? Where were we again? To believe. Now, the first place where believe was used in the Bible was Genesis 15:6. A man. And arguably one of the most quoted portions of the Old Testament. Abraham believed in the Lord, right? Abraham believed in the Lord. And it counted to him for righteousness. He believed in the Lord. So faith is in Christ. Praise God. He believed in the Lord. Faith is the key. Abraham's walk with God began by what? Faith in Christ. Hallelujah. Faith in Christ's revelation. And what did Abraham believe? Abraham believed. What did he believe? Abraham believed God. What did he believe? Abraham believed God. My Bible says demons also believe. Was Abraham a demon? James 2:19. Abraham believed God. Abraham believed what? He just believed God. What exactly about God? Just God. He just believed God. He believed what? He believed God. If you say someone believes someone, he must have said something to him. Right? You just someone say, I believe you. The guy will be running from you. Just someone say, I believe you. I believe you. The guy will say, eh? He's running. You must have said something for him to believe. And the Bible tells us what it is. Are you still there? Galatians 3. You learning something? Oh, glory. Galatians 3. That wonderful. As the scripture, and the scripture of verse 8, Galatians 3:8, and the scriptures foreseeing that God will justify the heathen through faith. What did he say? Preached what? The gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. So that's the gospel. He preached the gospel to Abraham. Hallelujah. So what was the basis of Abraham's faith? The gospel of Christ. That's why, pay attention here. That's why the Bible says in verse 16, to Abraham and his seed, where the promise is made, that is his seed, he said, not as to seed as of many, but of one, and to thy seed, which is who? Christ. So Christ was preached unto Abraham, and then he believed. So faith in Christ is what justified Abraham. So in the Old Testament, pay attention, faith in God is faith in Christ. Can I see that one more time? In the Old Testament, faith in God is faith in who? Now, go back to Hebrews 11. Where they earlier? Hebrews 11. Let me take a moment. Faith in God is faith in, okay, say with faith in God is faith in Christ. Thank you. We say, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, we did a study about that in the first service. I'll just run through a bit of what I thought in the first service. We said that word is not two sentences. It's just one single sentence. Now, Hebrews 11:1 is taken from Hebrews 10:38. Hebrews 10:38 was from Habakkuk 2:4. Write the vision upon the tables, wait for it, though it tarry, it will not tarry. And then we said that what he was talking about was Jesus, not your vision will tarry. It will not tarry, it will tarry. 17 keys to a vision, write it. 2, make it plain. 4, upon the table. 5, read it, to read it. 6, run. 7, read it. 8, wait for it. No, wait for it. It will tarry, it will not tarry. Don't confuse yourself. The scripture here was talking about Jesus, Habakkuk 2, verse 3 and 4. Because Hebrews 10 says, what? Hebrews 10, verse 37. You have need of patience, and you receive the promise. 37, sorry. And yet a little while, he that will come and will not tarry. So he that will come, referring to Jesus. He that will come. And that's why it says the just shall live by his faith. That is, the just will not live by believing in Jesus, the one that will come. Habakkuk 2:4. So every time you heard about that, it was faith in he that will what? Are you following what I'm saying? I thought that in the first sentence. I don't want to go over that again. He that will come. So, throughout the Old Testament, they had a vision, okay, of who? He that will come. And so, faith in he that will come justified them. Do you understand that? Let me see how you get that. So, from Abraham down, they believed in he, not it. He that will come, and then they believe. So, he says, we are none of them who draw back. That means, as Jesus was preached, some drew back. They didn't believe. But we are of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So in the Old Testament, we have those who believe not and drew back unto perdition. Then we have those who believe to what? The saving of the soul. We are not of those ones. We are of the ones who believe. Why? Because faith is the substance, or how do I put it now? Now is faith, that is then faith, is substantiating the things hoped for, evidencing things not seen. Things hoped for. Now that will become confusing, because if they were hoping for things, material things, physical things, it doesn't make sense. I told you that in the first service. It doesn't make any sense. Because the people we're talking about already had things. Hallelujah. Come on. All of them had things. Abel was the second son of the owner of everything. Praise God. How about if your dad just owns Yaba? You may not come to church today. You know, some folks, really, they need to learn Christianity. They are in church because they don't have money. And they still come for first and second service because they don't have money. When they have money, they come for second service towards the end. Maybe they are not born again. Abel's dad. Noah was one of these people. Right? There was a time Noah owned everything. He owned everything so much he got drunk. The kind of drinking you drink when you have no friends to play with. You know what I'm talking about. He got so drunk. He owned everything. Yet, he had faith for something he hadn't seen. Hallelujah. What did you want in those days that Noah could not give you? But I know some guys are going to say, faith is things hoped for. You know, in those days, they used to use chariots. Now we have jets. So they were hoping for jets. Okay, today they have the jets now. Rubbish. So we looked at the word things. In the Greek is the word pragma. Pragma is not referring to physical things, but what? Remember? An action by someone else. So if I'm going to translate that place, somebody will ask me when that translation coming out. Relax. Faith is the substance of actions hoped for. An action, an event hoped for. And faith evidences actions not seen. Is that clear? If you put that there, you know, it destroys many faith teachings. Title deed. Faith is the title deed. You don't have it yet, but you have the title deed. And they put you on faith, on that faith level. Oh, you don't have it yet, but the title deed. He's with you. He's with you. You can see the house in your spirit. They are teaching you idol worship. We are not imagining things. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying? Oh, brethren. And by the time you look at those things, they are not this different from Christian science. Imagination. That's not faith. Faith doesn't imagine. Imagine yourself, you are in the plane now. That means the visa is already yours. Brethren, that's victory. Victory. Can you see yourself? You're in owner's corner. Sorry, first class. In the gate. You have landed. You are there. New York. Can you see your land? See, I can see. That's faith. Unfortunately. The Old Testament folks do not even have that. Hallelujah. Through faith, we understand. The world was framed by what God said. Hallelujah. Not what they imagined of their own. Imagine what you want. Desire. Desire. Not that what you desire. Desire. And you begin to desire. I desire. No, I desire Jesus. I desire. I desire that right now. Have you listened to people, unbelievers, speak about how they desire? And they say, I wanted to get and I got it. And you see, sometimes what they say is not different from what people teach in churches. You know what I'm saying? No, the Bible says in Genesis 11, some guys imagined to build a tower and they would not be stopped. And that was not faith in Christ. Come on. Are you there? No, it's not wrong to desire things, don't get me wrong. But don't call that faith in Christ. Why are you quiet? Hallelujah. Hebrews 11, 1. The faith was what? For what Christ will do. Not for material things. And the faith, Hebrews 11, faith, was talking about the Old Testament, those who were expecting Christ. That's why we said that Hebrews 11, 1 defines faith in the Old Testament. Hebrews 12, 2 talks about faith today. We'll look unto Jesus. They looked unto Jesus, he that will come. We looked unto Jesus, the author and finisher, who had brought everything to pass. Now he's seated, hallelujah, at the right hand of God. Praise God. So we said the word pragma, Hebrews 11, 1, is from praso, what should be done or what has been done or what has been accomplished. Glory to God. So their own words, they were looking at what should be done. We are looking at what has been done. Does it make sense to you? Good. So look at Hebrews 11, 8. So Abraham, we just talk about him briefly today. I'm not focusing. Today's not Abraham's day, so I'll just be brief on him. So faith in the Old Testament, was it for things or in a person? Good. Faith in the Old Testament wasn't used for getting things. Hallelujah. Come on. Was used for getting things. Not. It wasn't for things. Watch this now. Verse 8. Do you notice? Let's read about Abraham briefly. Just today. Just an intro into Abraham. By faith. Shall we go? Let's go. By faith. Everybody, let's go. By faith. Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which will afterward receive as for inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. Pay attention. Don't lose this. He said he will go and receive for an inheritance. He obeyed. He went out, not knowing where he went. Now, in your mind, you could think that, okay, he was called to leave Lagos and go to London. You know, that kind of thing. So he didn't know London because he never traveled before. So he got there. Brethren, sometimes God will call you. You don't know this place, your inheritance. And banana islands, where you're going. Calm down. Before you read meaning to the Bible, read the next verse. By faith, let's take it, 9. He sojourned in the land of promise. Wait. He sojourned where? He sojourned where? Go on. As in a strange country. Wait. Strange country. Go on. Dwelling in tabernacles with? So where was he called to go? The land of promise. To inherit the promise. Okay. Verse 10. Which had foundation. Who's builder? Can you see how the truth was hidden in the facts? You will follow him to Canaan and he will leave you there. You will build a house in Canaan, he has left you. Because he was never going to Canaan. He was going to the land of promise. Okay? Watch this. The easiest part. Don't forget. Okay, let's go on. It says a city whose builder, okay, let's read it all. Let's finish. Verse 11. Through faith also, let's get, Sarah herself conceived strength to, conceived seed and was delivered of a child when she was past it because she judged in faith who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky. Huh? Where did you see this one? Where, what sprang out of Isaac? Stars of the sky, sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. Did they ever see this? Hallelujah. Again, you are lost in Isaac. You think Isaac was the story. Isaac was not the story. Hallelujah. He says, as of one person. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. These all, verse 13, they died where? In faith. Having not received the promises. So, for Abraham and Isaac, they did not receive the promise on Jacob. That means you will never find them in the Old Testament in the land of promise. Let me see if you're following what we're saying. Come on, let me see. Do you get me? You will never find them in the land of promise. They all died. They saw it afar, we explained that. They were strangers and pilgrims. Strangers is the word senos. Pilgrims, paradimos, I spent on the first service. It means they were temporary. Whatever you saw them with was a temporary status. It was not what they believed for. The things they owned, where they lived, the houses they dwelt in, they were strangers in there. They were pilgrims in there. Hallelujah. That was permanent. No, that was not permanent for them. That was temporary. Whatever they hold was not for their faith, was not in faith, was the result of it. Whatever they believed for was a person. Nothing. So, Genesis 15:6, Abraham believed in the Lord Christ. He's called righteous. Genesis 12:3. He said, I'll bless thee. He said, the nations of the, through you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And he's talking about in Christ. Abraham heard that. He believed that. He became righteous. Hallelujah. Not things. That's why we're going to study the word blessed. The word blessed was not physical blessings. Inasmuch as we have physical blessings. And let me say it ahead of time so you won't lose this one. Physical blessings are for everybody. So when we say I'm blessed at the end of the service, it's not because I'm born again, though. So we're going to sing blessed. Amen. We'll come to that. Not in this service. So a city whose builder and maker is God, verse 10, the city. What city? Verse 16, he prepared for them a city. What city? Is the word police. P-O-L-I-S. Police means inhabitants or people. Inhabitants. Where would the people come from? From the sea. Who is the sea? Christ. So he was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. What did God tell him? In thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. In your sea. Who is the sea? Who is the sea? Isaac was figurative because verse 19 or verse 18 says Isaac was a type. Isaac was not the seed. Verse 19, Isaac was not the seed. So the seed is Christ. He said, in Christ shall all the nations of the earth be what? Huh? What is a blessing? It cannot be physical. So when Abraham believed that, what did he become? Huh? What is the blessing? Righteousness through faith. In this Christ shall all the nations be declared what? Not guilty through faith. He was not talking about physical things. That's why God preached the gospel before to Abraham. Let me see if you follow what I'm saying here. If you stick your mind to, he dug one well, and the second well, the third well, you are lost in the mystery. Because the narrative changed. While Isaac, he enjoyed some stuff, Jacob was an employee. And he did all sorts. He entered famine seriously. That they had to go to Egypt. His son was in slavery. They got to Egypt. One more time they were in captivity. They came out. They went back to captivity again in Babylon. In the days of Jesus, they were under colonization. So if your mind was still, that's what they said, when will you restore the kingdom to Israel? Said, what are you talking about? They are just as lost as the people today. Whatever was said to Abraham was spiritual. Hallelujah. Whatever was said to him. Substance of things not seen. Evidence of things not seen. We looked at that word earlier. An action of Jesus was what was said to them. And we said in the first service, it meant the resurrection from the dead. Glory to his name. Are you getting something here? So the city, the country, he calls it in verse 16, heavenly. Hupranos in the Greek, it means something you cannot see. Whatever was said to Abraham was a city of people you couldn't see in Genesis 15. The book of Genesis. You won't see the people there. The people will come from a person. Hallelujah. In thy seed. And who is the seed? Who is the seed? So everyone, pay attention now, everyone who will be blessed will have faith in. And Abraham also had faith in. Is this clear? Thank you. It's clear enough. Praise God. Are you following this now? So the city, polis, P-L-I-S, is a people. That's why Hebrews 12:22. Go there quickly. Hebrews 12:22. You have come unto Mount Zion, the city of the living God. He calls it heavenly. Hallelujah. Heavenly Jerusalem. The judge of all. God, the judge of all. The spirits of just men made perfect. That's what we have come. Hallelujah. General assembly, pardon me. The church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. Hebrews 12:22-23. Hallelujah. So what was Abraham looking for? Abraham was looking out for the new creation in Christ. That's what I was looking at. That he became blessed because he had faith in Christ, in what Christ would do. And you know, the new creation came out of God's just resurrection. So his faith was in the resurrection of Jesus. Look at verse 14. Verse 14 calls it a country. The word country is patris. Patris. I love that word. Patris in the Greek means your own native place. Where you were born. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A country. Hallelujah. Where you were born. That already speaks about the new birth. Where you were born. So Abraham was looking forward to the new birth. Glory to God. That was whatever he was, whatever he had was temporary. He was a stranger, a pilgrim on earth. Somebody following me? Are you following? Let's look at that word patris in the Greek. That was very vital. Matthew 13. You learning something? Matthew 13. Patris. It means hometown. Hometown. Matthew 13, 54. And when he was coming to his own country. Matthew 13, 57. 57. A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country, that is in his own household. So he's speaking about your household. Mark 6, 1. Glory to God. Mark 6, 1. His own country. Mark 6, 4. Same statement. Not his own country. His hometown where he was born. Luke 4, 23 and 24. Are you there? Then John 4, 44. Luke 4, I said 23 and 24. Then John 4, verse 44. John 4, verse 44. John 4, 44. Okay, good. Jesus himself testified, the prophet had no honor in his own country. In his own town, where he was born. Where he was born. So Abraham was looking forward to what? A new birth. To be born again. His faith was not in things or for things. His faith was an event. What Christ will do. He already had things. His dad had things. People had things in the world. So their faith wasn't for things. They didn't even need faith for things. Come on, guys, are you following? They didn't have faith for things. Even Isaac, we'll come and look at that later. When Isaac was to be born, the issue wasn't having a miracle of a birth. He was a revelation of Jesus. That's why before Isaac was born, he already had Ishmael. He had Ishmael. And that's why Romans, if you read Romans 4, 20-25, because of time we'll go to that. He says, this was done to impute righteousness. He says, and this is also unto us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who was raised, who was delivered for our offenses, and raised for our justification. So whatever we read about Abraham, Isaac, and Sarah was to show us the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That from a dead body, from the dead will come life. Hallelujah. It's never about things. Faith was about a person. What Jesus will do. We'll come to that later. I won't explain much of that. So faith in Christ in the Old Testament was not for things at all. Go back to John 1. You learning something? Are you learning something? John 1. In the beginning, we explained this earlier on. In the beginning, God, no, was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then we said, the same was in the beginning with God, verse 3, John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 3. All things were made by Him. Now, does it mean everything? Huh? No. All these things. Because He now says, in Him was what? Life. Glory to God. Say glory to God. And the life was what? The light of men. And the light shines where? In the darkness. And the darkness couldn't comprehend it. Let me ask you. Did He make darkness? So all things exist in Him. That's what kingdom I. They exist in Him. All things were made by Him. It's a kingdom I. They exist in Him. It doesn't mean create. It's the same word was made flesh. The word created flesh. The word existed in flesh. So all things exist in Him. Without Him was not anything existing that was made. And what he's talking about? In Him was what? Life. Not created. Life. Life and life exist in a person. So everywhere we see light. And I explained to you in the first service that when the Bible says that in the beginning God created heaven and earth, verse 2 says, and then the earth was without form and void. And then it says there was darkness upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, moved upon the surface of the water. I said that could not be creation. Because when they let there be light, it's not the sun. The light. The light there is spiritual. Just like the darkness. And so Paul explains the light to be the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. So what Moses was writing about is God's plan of redemption. Light in Christ. Hallelujah. You follow that? Okay. So, before things, or better still, the Word. Light and life. So let's get to Genesis. So let's take it again. People in the Old Testament, this was their faith in Christ for things. Was it for things? Was it for things? Good. The faith was in a person. For Jesus' walk. Death, burial, resurrection, which has happened today. Now, follow this. So, get to Genesis now. I think we know, we don't do an exegesis on this one. Adam was not a believer. Was Adam a believer? Good. Now you know that he was a man that did not believe. Okay. Now, he didn't believe, but he had things. God gave him things. He didn't sow. Did he sow? No, he didn't sow to anybody. He had things. Enough things. You know, he didn't buy. Because he had things. But Genesis 1:26, pay attention, now says, let us make man our image after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, Genesis 1:26, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created him, male and female created them. Explain what I meant to you. And God blessed them and said unto them, please notice that, God blessed them and said, let me ask you this question. Before God said this, were there things already? Excuse me. Before Genesis 1:26, were there things in the earth? Good things. Great things. Good. So there were things in the earth. So he blessed them, say, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over everything that creeps upon the earth. So he blessed them. Now, come on, it didn't appear like the blessing was things. God blessed them by what he said. The blessing wasn't things. Because the things were already there. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's so funny. Because the New Testament language of the word blessing, there are two words. We'll look at one, and we'll run through it together. You have to. There are two words. We'll look at one. We'll look at the other one next week. The word blessing. Don't forget, the New Testament explains the old. Right? Right? Am I right? Okay, now look at the word blessing, New Testament. The four Gospels have it 26 times. Is the word eulogio. E-U-L-O-G-O. E-U-L-O-G-O. It means to speak well. You know, the word blessing in the New Testament was never used for things. Let's see a couple of words. Look at Matthew's Gospel 5:44-45. Matthew's Gospel 5:44-45. What does he say? 44. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Now, he says bless as the opposite of what? Curse. Somebody speaks evil of you, you speak well of the person. Now, the word blessed there, does it have to do with things? No. Same thing, Luke's Gospel 6:28. Look at Matthew 14:19. Eulogio. It means to speak properly or speak well of. Matthew 14. 19. And Jesus commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground and took the fish loaves, because we think blessed means empowered to prosper. Right? Now look at this. And Jesus, looking up to heaven, he empowered to prosper, because the word he did here, you know, another version will say, another place said he gave thanks. He spoke well. Eulogio. He gave thanks. Look at the book of Acts. To speak well. to speak well. You discover the word blessing in the new covenant is for work. It blessing defines the kind of words spoken, not things. Kind of words spoken. Now look at Acts 3:26. You learning something? Are you learning something? Acts 3:26. I'll probably pick that song. Okay. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to what? Bless you. In turning every one of you from his iniquity. What is the word to bless you? That's the gospel. To speak to you. Hallelujah. That's the gospel. That's what he did. He sent Jesus to bless. What was he talking about? Verse 20. Let's take 20 together. And he shall send what? He shall send what? Which was preached unto what? So the blessing is communicated by what? The gospel. Epistles. In the epistles, we have the word blessing. 14 times. Okay, let's run through a couple of them. Romans 12:14. Bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. Bless them that be the empowered to prosper. Is that what he's saying? You mean speak well of them. Right? Come on. Look at 17-18. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things for the sake of all men. If it possible, as much as lies in your power, within you, be present with all men. You know, Romans 12. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 12. And labor working with our hands, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer. Being reviled, what do? We bless, we speak well. Bless. To bless. 1 Corinthians 14. Alright, this was good. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, please turn there, when you shall empower to prosper, how shall he that occupies him, we're going to say amen, at what? So, blessing is called giving thanks. When you speak well, you're thankful. Galatians 3. Galatians 3. Hope you are following this. Galatians 3. Verse 9. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. He told you what he meant. Abraham believed God. Verse 6. It was counted to him for righteousness. So, those who believe, they are what? Spoken well of, like Abraham. That means whatever was said for Abraham will be said for them. Hallelujah. And Abraham believed God. What was said for him was counted as him for what? Righteousness. He was called righteous. So everyone who believes is also blessed. What's the blessing? It is said, God says to you, you are what? Righteous. Hallelujah. Was it things? So Abraham's blessing was not things. Amen. 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 Abraham's blessings weren't. Abraham's blessing was righteousness. Righteousness. I am blessed in the morning, I am blessed in the evening. A brother came one time, he said, we are not singing that song properly. He said, I am blessed in the morning. He said, no, what about the afternoon? I am blessed in the morning, in the noon, in the evening. The blessings are mine, they are really mine. That's open up. My hands are blessed, my hands are.
the blessings of the Lord. With the blessings of the Lord. My hands are bare. My hands are bare. With the blessings of the Lord. Anyone I know it's gonna be a joke. Anyone I touch,
surely not be blessed. I'm touching the guy. The guy goes out and say, Are you? Is the blessing touching or speaking? Huh?
My enemy, in the blessings of the Lord, in the blessings of the Lord.
And you drop your. You know, when you don't know the Bible, your songs will reflect your mind. Not, you know, being funny. You know, look at, so the blessing refers to what God said. That's what, you know, doesn't make sense to call blessing things. Look at that. Let's see a couple of scriptures that may make us look stupid. Blessing means empower to prosper. Brother, when you are blessed, you begin to prosper. Oh yes. A prosper. On all sides. This blessing. Okay, let's see. Ephesians 1:3. Are you there? Empowered to prosper. Oh yeah, now. Empowered to prosper. Okay, let's even use the word happy and fortunate. Happy and fortunate be the God and Father of our... Hallelujah. What does bless here mean? We speak well of God. Who has spoken well of us. Hallelujah. In Christ Jesus. What did he say? He said he has chosen us. He spoke well of us. Hallelujah. Do you understand? No. Empower to prosper be God. God, in fact, God, if the book can say, God got to a point he had to be blessed. James 3:9. How was Abraham blessed? God spoke well of him. Not about things. God spoke well. God called him righteous. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. James 3, you're learning something here. James 3:9. Wherewith we bless God, even the Father. Doesn't he? We empower God to prosper. We speak well of God. And thereby we curse we men who are made out of the spirit of God. He says, brethren, out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. So where does blessing come from? What you say? Are you there? Good. 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That means we speak well of him. Hallelujah. We call him our Father. We call him the one who has sent Jesus to save us. We are blessing him. Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews 6:14. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Hebrews 6:14. Surely blessing I'll bless thee. In multiplying I'll multiply thee. Glory to God. He's talking about Christ. Speak well of you. In blessing. Not things. So, what's the blessing? He said, we have that anchor who has gone in behind the veil. Hallelujah. The blessing is in a person. Glory to God. So, everything God has said concerning Christ, he says concerning us, that's the blessing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Look at Romans 4. So, you know, things existed before the blessing. You get it? Things existed before the blessing. Romans 4:1. Can we read that together? Everybody, let's go. Romans 4:1. Come on, everybody, let's go. What shall we say then? Everybody, come on. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? What did he find? For if Abraham, I want to read together, verse 2. For if Abraham was justified by works, he had whereof to glory, but not before God. For what's here the scripture? Abraham believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. Glory to God. Now to him that walks not is the reward. That walks is the reward. Not reckoned of grace, but of death. Let's take five together. But to him that walks not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted. Abraham was ungodly. He had godly means. He took his wife to make money. That's why he was rich. He took his wife. He told the king, said, Pharaoh, she's my sister. Half truth. That one was not taking care of his in-law. Gave him, you know, gave him servants. And he was sleeping with the wife. He was. And when money was coming, they wonder, why did you lie? The money was already in his account, he was already blessed. The man said, just go. So Abraham, but he went away with, that's where he got all the servants from. Blood money. Or wife money. So by Genesis 13:2, I have an Abraham deal, not today. Bible says he was rich in cattle, gold, silver, and money. From what? From exchanging his wife to sleep with the king to make money. The second time he was called rich, he was Abimelech. You know, fine woman is fine woman. Then Abimelech took Sarah again, but this one he didn't touch her. He was about to. Abimelech, why have you done this to me? Why have you done this evil to me? She's actually my father's daughter, but not my mother. He said, just go. He's still scoping. Just go. And then the guy gave him everything again. An ungodly attitude for a righteous man. Hallelujah. That's why his physical wealth is not mentioned at all, not by Jesus or anybody. And that's what Isaac took from. Yes. Jacob did not get out, so he went to work. But the blessing was on him. He had believed the gospel. He is called righteous. It was not things. Hallelujah. What? So where were we? Verse 6, come on. Even as what? Romans 4, are you there? Let's go. Even as David described what? The hey! Ha 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 ha. Ah, yeah, 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 yeah. I can stay on this for a day. The blessedness of the man unto whom God imputes righteousness without works. It had nothing to do with things. Look at the next verse. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord would not impute. This is Abraham's blessing. Look at 9. Comment this blessing upon circumcision only? Upon circumcision? No. For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. This is the blessing. Righteousness through faith. It was never things. Glory to his name. So by the time you see in Genesis 14, what did Melchizedek say? Blessed be Abraham. He spoke well of Abraham of the Most High God. Abraham did not get anything from Melchizedek. He already had things. After all, from the other exchange I told you about. But why did Melchizedek call him blessed? Because he's called righteous. God spoke well of him. God speaks well of him. So he said, Abraham is blessed. God still speaks well of him till today. All that what you are saying by his wife is your business. God called him righteous. Hallelujah. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. So things existed with men. Faith in Christ. Faith in Christ was never for things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's go to our text for this series. And don't worry, we're reading up soon. 1 Corinthians 10. Glory to God. Amen. Faith in Christ is not for things. Faith in Christ is about what he has done for us. That's what it's for. Not for things. We don't want to be like Abraham or David or Moses. No way. I showed you in the first sentence that Moses esteemed what? The reproaches of Christ. What Christ will suffer beyond the wealth of Egypt. Greater riches, he calls it. He calls what Christ has done greater riches. The riches of his glory. Not money. Moses had money.
Isn't it not? Is that not true? He had money. But that wasn't it. The Bible says, they all were looking for an enduring substance. Something that would not be temporary. And that can only be found in Christ. Whatever we have received in Christ is not just for now. It's forever and ever. I'm what He says I am. I am blessed. God speaks well of me. Hallelujah. So if somebody comes to you and says, the Spirit of God says to you now, I'm warning you. One last time. And you are done. That's not me. Because I'm blessed. He speaks well of me. Hallelujah. He speaks well of me. Glory to His name. It's not about whether I wear this haircut or that haircut. Christian haircut. Or you have rubber on your head. You know. Some people put rubber on it. In present day Nigeria. When they take pictures, you think that it was backdated. How would a human be in 2016? Sorry, I may be wrong. What I'm saying may not be spiritual. You don't have to believe. How would you not know how to apply makeup? It's funny. He says, you want to go to heaven. Some people preaching holiness and saying people should be dressed in one kind. They are dressed in one kind, but they have billions in their account. Is that not hypocrisy? If you really want to go to heaven, why are you building a house all over the place? Is that heaven? He's putting people in bondage. Praise God. You get my point? Say, don't wear this. Don't wear that. And it looks simple. How can you not put on makeup? When don't you paint your house? You make your house beautiful. Then you look like a type and shadow of your house. Let me leave that for today. We have a family week. We'll talk about that. Hallelujah. And what He says that. 1 Corinthians 10. I love this verse, 26. For the earth is the Lord. And the fullness thereof. The earth is the Lord. Paul repeats it again in 28. He says, look, for the earth is the Lord. And the fullness thereof. Now, I'll close here. He's talking about food that men took to idols. That if someone prepares a food, then he takes it to idols and he says, this belongs to idols. Then Paul says, don't mind him, he's confused. The earth is the Lord. And the fullness thereof. So he says, if they say it belongs to idols, eat it. It doesn't belong to idols. Hallelujah. And we're going to be sharing along that line. It doesn't belong to idols. It doesn't. Though the person who made it for idols. Paul says, the food does not belong to idols. Say that food belongs to God. Said the earth is the Lord. And the fullness there. Said the reason why, and we're going to talk about that. The reason why you will not eat it is for the conscience of that person. What he believes. Hallelujah. And that's why we're believers. We walk in the Spirit as touching the things of this earth. But we are not scared of those things. They were not made by the devil. Whatever is in this earth was made by God. Hallelujah. whatever is in this earth, things were made by God. And we're not afraid of things. We'll touch that later. But don't forget, whatever he says is the Lord's was with an idol worship. So unbelievers own things that God made. Those things are a blessing, but they are not blessed. Praise the Lord. Because until you receive remission of sin, you are not blessed in Christ. So we explore this. How do we handle things? What is it about things? Paul says the earth is the Lord's. Acts 17. Is this of God? You know, there was a time people didn't, Christians, and I knew that period, Christians ran from television. And I was attending a denomination where we will have to go to someone's house secretly to go, and I could die not watching football. I mean, you could, if you want to take my salvation, then don't talk about football. And I'll be in the service and they'll tell us about brethren, people have lost their salvation for television. I would cry. Others may, but I cannot. Others may, but I cannot. I will cry. Nigeria versus Brazil. I say, Lord, for that which I'm about to do, forgive me. And the thing was, I will now meet members of the same church there and we'll look at ourselves. Hey! They made me criticize trousers. And another is, can you see that sister? She watched religious modernizers. And in my heart, I'm thinking, she's so lovely. Because that's what the Lord does. Religion makes an hypocrite out of you. You are just a pretender. You will say you don't like what you like. And you will like what you don't like. I asked one brother, I said, look at this person. See how she's dressed. How can you like this? See this brother, how can you like? His trousers have been lifted high above all else. Your tie like skipping rope. How can this? No! For the man who dress well, the good dress and the bad ones, they are all of the Lord. Choose one. Hallelujah. We are coming to this in detail. Praise the Lord. It has nothing to do with faith in Christ. Praise God. And we kept quiet. We couldn't talk. The same people are on television. But we don't blame them. Maybe they were ignorant. But then you still wonder. Now that you have a TV, can't you see TV? The way people dress? Yes. How can you in these days dress and then we call you Joseph? Why are you laughing at me? Coat of many colors. Dress properly, sir. Praise God. It has nothing to do with faith in Christ. What faith in Christ affects, we'll talk about it. Praise God. Whether you're in a good car or a bad car, it has nothing to do with faith in Christ. Is what you do with things that demonstrates your faith in Christ. Not whether you own them or not. Because like we found out, things existed before blessing. So in this series we'll be talking about it. The liberty we have in Christ as touching things. What faith in Christ has taught us about things. Are you ready to receive that?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thanks be unto God. I said, thanks be unto God. Lift your hands, just worship Jesus.